You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
We're talking Phillies baseball today on this Friday, October 20th, with Todd Zalecki, our Phillies reporter for MLB.com. Todd, we thank you for the time on this Friday, and what I'd like to do today is just kind of take a look back at this Phillies starting rotation and specifically what that staff looked like coming out of the spring, the five guys that were targeted as the, you know, the main five for that rotation, but then to see the changes that occurred, whether through injuries or trades or what have you, and how that rotation looked by the end of the season, by the conclusion of game 162. So kind of have at it and take us through the twists and turns of that rotation throughout the course of a long season.
Yeah, sure. You know, last offseason, the Phillies kind of following their MO in terms of building a team right now in the middle of a rebuild. They've had a philosophy of signing guys or acquiring guys in the final years of their deal, veteran players in the final years of their deal, for the purpose of not only providing stability to the rotation, but also then possibly becoming an attractive trade chip. You know, because the Phillies right now, where they were at last offseason at this point, weren't really in the market to go after a starting pitcher signed to a five-year deal because they didn't really consider themselves, competitors or, you know, postseason competitors. So they just kind of wanted to get a look at the young guys and have these veterans kind of stabilize things, like I said, and then maybe be traded to a contender. So they, you know, Jeremy Hellickson kind of surprised some people. He accepted the team's qualifying offer in the offseason, and then they went out, I believe it was in December, and traded for Clay Buchholz from the Red Sox. And I thought both of those guys, combined with Aaron Nola, Jared Eichhoff, Vince Velasquez, and a host of other young players, young pitchers in the organization, they would have kind of a good base to work around. And as in any rebuild, you have some good things happen, you have some bad things happen, and you have a lot of things that happen in between. And by the end of the season, or I should say shortly into the season, Clay Buchholz got hurt. He only made two starts for the Phillies. Jeremy Hellickson got traded before the July 31st trade deadline. Vince Velasquez got hurt. Jared Eichhoff struggled and ended the season on DL. Zach Eflin got hurt. And then some of the young pitchers like Nick Pivetta, Ben Lively, Jake Thompson, Mark Leiter Jr. had some ups and downs, and really the only starting pitcher on the staff that you could say, you know, really had an excellent season was Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola was a first round draft pick from a few years ago. And at this moment, I would say going into this offseason, he has to be really considered the only true lock to be in the rotation on opening day 2018, only because you don't know how many other starters they're going to try to acquire this offseason, and because of injuries and ineffectiveness and, you know, inconsistency, you don't really know how all those other pitchers that are still in the organization are going to kind of fit into the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds cliche nowadays to say you can never have too much pitching, you can never have too many options, but man, it's so true for all the reasons you just went down. It seems like you've got a good mix of young guys and veterans, and then they all get hurt. And lo and behold, the one guy that was able to keep his head above the health waters, if you will, was Aaron Nola. And to look at Nola individually, you know, he showed some promise in 2016, the 4.78 ERA, a good strikeout rate, better than 1K per inning, which he did again in 2017, 184 Ks in 168 innings, a 12-11 mark, and he significantly lowered his ERA by about a run in two-tenths to 3.54. And I got to think that, there's ace-like potential here with Nola, given his pedigree as a high draft pick, and we saw some flashes of that in 2017, I would think.
Yeah, he really kind of he almost pitched better than even the numbers. You know, like you said, mentioned the 12-11, 3.54 ERA. He really had some dominant stretches last season, and I think what going forward, I think the Phillies are really excited with what he's been able to do. And you know, his velocity actually picked up last season, and he also kind of incorporated, developed a pretty effective changeup to go along with his breaking ball and his two-seamer. So I think took a step forward. And you talk about ace. Certainly, I think he has the potential to be a top-of-the-rotation guy because of his ability just to control the strike zone. You know, he actually came out of college when the Phillies drafted him, as a kind of a command pitcher. You know, nobody really thought he was going to strike out a lot of batters. But he had 184 strikeouts this season, like you said, in 168 innings, and really, really threw the ball well. And I think going forward, like I said, he is the only guy that I think you can say without a doubt, bet your house on it. You know, he's going to be in the rotation on opening day next season, assuming he stays healthy throughout spring training.
Yeah, no question. And something I like about Nola too, as opposed to other guys that do strike out a lot of guys. He managed to keep the ball in the ballpark in 27 starts, only 18 home runs. We see a lot of guys with his strikeout numbers that are up in the, you know, mid to upper 20s, the low 30s, but his home run rate was very good. Another encouraging sign for Nola in 2018 and beyond. Todd, one guy that you kind of earmarked as having the best potential is Nick Pivetta. And looking at his numbers, it's interesting because about an hour or so ago, talking to one of your colleagues, Steve Gilbert, who covers the Arizona Diamondbacks, and we were saying that, coming out of 2016, Robbie Ray was a guy that had numbers very similar to Nick Pivetta and that the ERA was a little bit bloated, but he struck out a ton of guys. Lo and behold, Ray really turns it around this year, wins 15 games, still strikes out a ton of guys, but this was the season he put it all together. Do you see that kind of potential in Pivetta? Because, again, the numbers at first glance aren't great, an ERA of 6.02, but again, the strikeout numbers are tremendous. So do you see, based on that, potential for a breakout next season?
Yeah, I do. Whether or not he does it certainly remains to be seen. But here's, of all the Phillies pitchers last season, all the young guys that came up and struggled, or even not even just the guys that made big league debuts last season, just all the young pitchers other than Nola, really, the coaching staff and the front office really liked what they saw from Nick Pivetta. And like you just mentioned, you look at his stats and you say, the guy had a 6.02 ERA and 26 starts, right? So you're like, how could he actually be? But I think a lot of that was him learning on the job. I think what I saw personally from Nick Pivetta is a guy, particularly early in the season, he would kind of let things unravel on him. I saw this quite a bit with Cole Hamels after they won the 2008 World Series. He struggled a little bit in 2009, and when things started to kind of snowball on him, you could see some really bad body language on the mound. He kind of drop his head, he kind of stomp around, and I think you saw that a lot with Nick Pivetta this season. When he would get into a jam and he would give up a broken bat single or even a line drive off the wall in the gap, he would really seem to let it wreck him mentally. And then things would kind of get out of hand quickly. But what I saw late in the season was he seemed to get a little bit of a better grasp on those things, and it kind of controls emotions a little bit. So when he did get into a jam and in a tight situation, he did seem to kind of battle through that a little bit better. So, it's interesting. Roy Halladay, he said in spring training his favorite player growing up was Roy Halladay. Nick Pivetta is from British Columbia. Roy was with Blue Jays for a long time. Roy Halladay works with the in a mental skills capacity. And, boy, I tell you what, if I'm Nick Pivetta, I am scheduling a meeting right now with Roy Halladay because, Roy Halladay went through some very serious struggles early in his career as well. And I think he could really, really help Nick Pivetta kind of fine-tune the mental side of the game, because he's certainly got the stuff. He's got a great fastball. He's got good off-speed pitches. And that's why I think, if he can just kind of fine-tune a few things next year, he can really take a step forward and be a productive pitcher in this rotation.
No question. Sky is the limit for Nick Pivetta in 2018 and beyond. And the last guy I want to focus on, a guy that you labeled a big disappointment, and you won't get a lot of arguments from Phillies fans, Vince Velasquez. He was kind of the gem in the Ken Giles trade. He comes over 2016. He was okay. Health issues in 2017 when he was on the mound. The number's not great. 2.17, a 5.12 ERA. I know the bloom is off the rose a little bit with Velasquez. Can he get back to being the pitcher that people expect him to be?
He can, certainly, because he still has great stuff. I mean, you look at his four-seam fastball, he really gets a lot of swings and misses on that. So, in today's day and age, you want, there's a real value on those swings and misses. And he certainly can do that. Now, there's a lot of talk of, does Vince fit better in the future as a back end of the bullpen piece? Possibly. But in talking to Matt Klentak, the Phillies general manager, they're going to continue to give him another look, a longer look in the rotation, which I understand. And I understand that because he does have such great stuff. I mean, he's got the four-seamer. He's got a good curveball. You know, he's got a changeup that he can improve upon a little bit. But with that type of stuff on a rebuilding team like this, you can maybe afford to be a little bit more patient than you could be, say, if he was still with the Astros this season, right? Like, you know, the Astros, they're trying to win the World Series. So if Vince Velasquez was on the Astros still and struggling, maybe they go, you know what, let's forget about it. Let's put him on the bullpen and see what he can do there. But because the Phillies are rebuilding and because they're not necessarily expected to, you know, even get to the postseason next year, I think 500 would be a great accomplishment for him. They can continue to run him out there in a starting pitching role and see if he can finally get things to click. You know, and that's the thing right now with a lot of Phillies players, you know, just keep running them out there right now while you can and just be absolutely certain that this guy can do the job or can't do the job before you pull the plug on him and put him in a different role. So next season is going to be a huge one for Vince Velasquez. If he comes out next season and he makes the rotation out of spring training and he struggles, then I think, you know, to say you're going to go into 2019 with him thinking he might turn things around might be a stretch, and you might have to think bullpen. But right now, I do like the idea of staying with him as a member of the starting rotation and seeing if he clicks, he could be a top of the rotation guy if it clicks. But right now, it certainly has not.
Yeah, you got nothing to lose given the state of the Phillies as opposed to the state of the Astros, his former team, and that's a great point. You know, put him out there, see what you got before you make a decision one way or another. Todd Zielecki, great stuff as always. We'll do it again at this time next week. We appreciate the time. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Philadelphia Phillies.